This is a little bit different today in that instead of the normal sermon, we're going to have kind of a little roundtable discussion with Sheila, and she wants to share some things from life and ministry in Indonesia and some stories, some great stories. So let me open in prayer, and this is kind of unusually informal, but I think you're going to enjoy this time with hearing about what God is doing in Indonesia. Let me pray. Father, thanks for allowing us to be in your house. Thank you for everyone who is here as well as online. We just thank you for building our spiritual church family together, and we just thank you that it's not just here in Hamilton, but it's around our nation and around our world, Lord. And we just ask your blessing upon this little discussion and sharing of vision and faith and ministry in Indonesia. And we just thank you for all this and more in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is for those of you who don't know, this is Sheila Meyer. And real quick background, Joel and Sheila were our associate pastor couple when we were at Canyonview some years back, and God has done a lot of stuff since those years, I think. A lot of good stuff, sometimes hard stuff, as we talked about in adult ed. But when God calls you to his service, I think sometimes we think it's going to be all great, but God uses hard things to grow us in our calling, amen? So, so our time here is informal, but maybe I'll let you start with some background, and we've got a series of slides that represent some amazing stories that I want to share a little bit about today.
Yeah. I think so this is our family, Joel, me, and we have four children. They're ages 10, 8, almost 6, and then Nia is 20 months. And they are currently in Ohio with Joel's parents. They're on a farm swimming in a pond while we're here, so also getting sick. So we had a phone call last night and lots of tears, but they're okay. So these are our kiddos. So Toby and Oren were both born in Indonesia. So Joel, he lived here for 4 years in Hamilton, and he was at the church at Canyon View for 2 years before we got married, and then I was here for the 2 years following, and during that time is when Jim came, and Jim got us sent out from Canyon View. And when we went to Indonesia, we had no kids, so Toby was born 6 months after we had gotten there, and then Oren followed, and the girls were both born in the States, so I think they're the only ones that can ever be president. I think that's the.
This is true.
I don't want them to be president, but I'm just saying.
No.
So this is our family. So we have lived in Indonesia for, it'll be 11 years this October.
Wow.
We moved there in 2014. Wow. And we've had, I don't know what to say. I mean, it has been a long journey. All the normal stuff of life that you guys experience here, we experience in Indonesia. You know, the ups and downs of, family getting sick and there being challenges with relationships, whether it's teammates and family, and it's challenging. But it's been really fun over there at times too, developing relationships, learning a language, learning a culture, becoming fluent in all of that. When we, 2 years ago, when we came back and went through a major transition, something that we had never foreseen, we kept looking at Indonesia and saying, and we loved it there. It's something that seems so crazy from the beginning to look at and say, moving to Indonesia was not easy. And after the first 4 years, we came back here to the States for a year. So previously, when we had been with a missions org, it was 4 years in the country and then 1 year back in the States and then 4 years, So it was a long time in between being able to come back to the States and visit. Even after that first 4 years, I never thought that Indonesia would feel like home. And what's crazy is that it does. Like, the States feels like home too, but it feels comfortable there for us, for our family. And so we're really grateful.
So they are a multicultural family. One of the things that struck me when we finally got back to my place, so they were supposed to be here Friday morning, missed a connection in Chicago because of a plane issue or something. Yeah. And so they didn't get in. We didn't get in till 1:30 in the morning on Saturday. So the trip got really compacted. Yeah. But the thing that struck me was when Joel got out of the car, he just stopped and he breathed deeply. And he was like, oh, I'm back in Montana. And I was like, and he was smelling, there's this pine smell in the air that I had forgotten about, that when I stopped and listened to him, I was like, oh, you're right, it is mm-hmm. there. I hadn't thought of that.
That is the thing that I think I look forward to the most, is when stepping off out of that airport and just smelling it. It is, do you guys remember that? Do you still smell it?
I still smell it?
Yeah.
Well, and one thing that you may not know, they live in a city called Bandung, which is 2 or 3 hours from the big city mm-hmm. of Jakarta yeah. which is 21 million people. So they live in a very urban environment. So mm-hmm. the things that we take for granted in a beautiful state like Montana, we can forget about our blessings, can't we? But when they came in and they're smelling deep and they're enjoying, and we went huckleberry picking yesterday.
We got huckleberries.
You know, and all that kind of good Montana stuff. Gosh, we can take things for granted, and we don't want to do that, do we?
No.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So these guys are definitely cross-cultural people. Both of our families are Midwesterners, so there's always that connection, even though they're from Ohio. I'm from Michigan.
Michigan.
But anyway, yeah. Rivalries. I think we have a series of pictures, but also their story is a story of being called and then changes happening. We could call it 2.0, we'd call it whatever. From difficult situations, God bringing something new and beautiful, mm-hmm. right? Something that maybe you never expected or whatever. I mean, that's all of our stories. So Sheila and Joel's story is everyone's story. Just the features look a little different maybe. But I know she wants to share a little bit about that too. And we got some fun pictures up there too.
Yeah, we can go ahead to the next slide. So, okay. So I guess I'll share a little bit about what we do in Indonesia. Previously, we were much more, I guess, traditional church planters, do house fellowships is what, and we were living, Joel was an English teacher, but it was kind of a vague, it's sometimes really hard to describe, like when you're living over there in a country where you have to prove what you're doing for a visa, it's hard to be a missionary. It's hard to be a worker. Yeah. And people say, oh, what do you do? And you're like, oh, I teach English one time a week, and that's supposed to support my family. Like, it doesn't make much sense to people. What's interesting is this time when we went back, Joel is a teacher. He has an education degree, and he's now teaching at a school that it's 900 students. It goes from preschool all the way up through graduation. And he's teaching English lit and rhetoric, so it's a classical education. And he's teaching the upper crust, like the more, what do you say, the wealthy of Bandung, of our area. But one of the things for him is that being a teacher, he talks about this. He has a lanyard that he has to wear to school every day. It tells his name and what he does. It gives him a sense of freedom when he walks out those gates because he is legit. Like he is a teacher. There's just this sense of comfort in being able to have
a real job.
A real job. I mean, we had a real job before, like you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's something about it that feels really good. So that is what we're doing now. And previously, we had, in the 10 years before that, there were many relationships and people that we got to know that have carried on into this new phase of life in that same city. And so Joel's teaching, but I want to share about this picture. So this is our oldest son, Toby. My mom she used to make soaps and lotions, and she taught me how, and it's very, very fun. And so I can do that over in Indonesia. And one of the outlets for that is we're working with an organization over there, or a ministry over there, for for underage girls who have been rescued from prostitution. She has a home. So it's our friend Ibu. I'm not going to say her full name, but her name is Ibu A. And she, there are, I think, currently like 13 girls that are in this home. And so when I make soaps, I get to sell the soaps, and then some of the money from that then goes to support that it's not much support, that's just a little bit, but I also have taught them how to make soaps. And so that's something that, so you can go ahead to the next picture. So this is a picture, this is the week before we came home, I got to go to the safe house and we were making soaps together. So this is a picture of some of the staff and the girls and that we have over the last year, I have been developing relationships with. And this is something that to the future, we really hope we'll continue to carry on. Something else about what we're doing right now, Joel is a teacher, but the real heart behind why we're back over there in the ministry that we have is for awareness about pornography and what pornography does to people and how it can break relationships, how it can break people's lives. And there is freedom that can be found that you can. So I don't know, Jim, did you previously, before I got married, I had lived in India and I had worked with girls that also had been in prostitution. So this is something that I am passionate about, which is why I getting to work with them is just amazing. Yeah. But I remember being in India and saying, as a woman, especially as a woman, but I'm working with women in the sex trade. How do you ever break this cycle? And I always said we're working on the back end of the sex trade. Like, we're on the back end of this and trying to help these girls, but what about that front end? How can you get that to stop? And as the years in Indonesia, as we were going, and suddenly Joel starts becoming more and more aware of what's going on with pornography, especially during COVID, everybody has their phones out, and it's just like, it just ramped up high. And he started working with a lot of his mentees and even people in churches, pastors, recognizing we've got to do something like to start building this community to bring people freedom if they want to stop looking at pornography because it becomes an addiction. And I recognize that, like, when we start working with that and start educating kids, start raising awareness of the effects of pornography, that is the front end of this prostitution, of like the sex trade that comes out on this other side. And so I am in so many ways blown away by how God has, with my husband who's working on this side, which, and I help support that, but then also getting to work on the other side. And it's just been pretty radical and pretty exciting.
Yeah, a word about that, and just watching the development. You know, a lot of times people have certain ideas about what missionaries do or don't do, and they do church and religious things and whatever, and it's kind of funny to us. But the fact of the matter is, if the gospel doesn't make someone free, what are we doing? I don't care what that looks like, whether it be from an addiction of some sort or whatever, but if the gospel is an invitation to life, and so these ministries that they're involved in, they're not separate pieces, they're really all one in the same, whether it be front end or back end of the sex trade or pornography. One of the things that's amazing is some of these things are hot potato topics in traditional cultures. Yes. Keep in mind, Indonesia is the largest Muslim country on the planet by far, and so there's certain taboos and other things among different groups. Joel has been actually invited into Muslim schools to do this ministry, which is almost unheard of, because they just don't really want to touch it. So it's not just give it to the white dude, it's give it to someone who has a heart for this and experience. So Sheila's ministry years ago in India with trafficked girls, I mean, it continues in a different sort of form today.
Yeah, there's, on the video that you guys saw earlier, you might have seen all the, like, the soccer teams or wondering what that was. Joel gets to work sometimes with coaches, and so he'll take some of the teachers from his school, and they'll go and do, like, weekends where they'll do coaching, but then also teaching them about pornography and all that. Yeah, and he's, Pastor Jim's right, like, it is a taboo subject, and somebody has to start the conversation, and so that is... That is a huge goal of Joel's. Like, and we're within, he is within, we are within a school system, 900 students. Again, we're talking about the wealthier people of Indonesia. They are the future of Indonesia. And so they might be pastors, they might be businessmen, but mm-hmm. Joel gets to be there and talk with them and start raising the awareness of that. And it is very impactful. So.
Yeah, and the cultural layers, this is important for us too here in the States, but all of you have an ability to minister to people that wouldn't give me the time of day. As soon mm-hmm. as they hear I'm a pastor, it's like done. You know, the record just comes sliding across. I know I'm dating myself. But anywho, but these cultural layers, what I really appreciate about these guys, not only have they immersed themselves in a completely different country, but multiple cultures. So learning Bahasa Indonesian and Joel Sunda, which is another people group in that island, and seeing where those needs begin and end, and moving with nationals to do collaborative ministry is just awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead to the next. I know there's a lot. Okay, so this is, when you were talking about Joel has gotten to take his anti-pornography curriculum into Muslim schools, a lot of it is based on this couple we have known since we've been in Indonesia. So it's going 11 years now. They're wonderful. Their daughter is 4 days older than Nia, so it's hilarious to watch them together. They do peace camps. And we've talked about that in the past, but Joel, that was for the first 9 years, he was very involved with peace camps where they bring Muslim college students and Christian college students together, and they just open up dialogue, not about debate, but just about getting to know the other. And it was this, it's a major platform that God can use to bring about his spirit. It's really cool. It took them into schools, all sorts of schools, and it was through that platform that with the pornography and raising awareness about that, that we have gotten to continue to do that. And they continue. So Joel's in partnership with them for peace camps to start putting pornography, that curriculum out there too for college students.
And do you see the strategic kingdom value? I mean, we talk about Muslim and Christian interactions and all that kind of stuff throughout the world, but they're on the ground doing this kind of thing. And that Brennan Manning quote comes to me in part, Carol. Where our enemy cries.
Yes, my compassion developed when I learned where my enemy cries.
Yeah, so in a peace camp, when people are coming together just to get to know each other and not hate each other, when you see where you think your enemy cries, all of a sudden you have the heart of Jesus for them. See, this is how this works, and you get beneath all that crapo. It's awesome. So love this aspect too.
I also want to say about our friends, he has just been accepted to Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
To do his PhD. I mean, this couple, they are educated way beyond me. But they are, they're just incredible in what they're doing in their heart too. So I'm so blessed.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about America being a melting pot, and it is, but you know, a lot of other countries are as well. So just thinking about your guys' ministry and the school itself, I'm just kind of laughing last night. You've got the native Indonesians. Then along the coast, you have Chinese people over the centuries who settled there. And a lot of them are the business leaders and their kids are going to the school.
Yeah.
And so you influence the, you know, those sort of leaders. And all of a sudden, you got the next generation of believers, see. And then we were talking about one of my missions mentors, Dr. Ellenberger, and they were part of a people movement in the inner islands with the Melanesian darker people. 100,000 came to Jesus Christ in like the 50s and 60s. And so Indonesia is an incredibly diverse country, and there are a lot of Christians, especially in the interior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, next. Let's see what we got next. Okay. So this is another a relationship that we have had. So the man, I don't want to say his name, his name, Pa'e, who's holding Nia, he is an incredible man. He's a pastor to the Sunda people group. Go ahead to the next picture. I think there's, So this is another one of him. Does anybody know what that fruit is?
It's $56 is what it is.
It was very expensive and very delightful. does anybody know? Nope. Wait, did I just hear it? It's durian. Have you ever heard of durian?
Yeah.
It's one of the stinkiest fruits in the world.
Yeah.
It does stink.
Yeah.
Well, the amazing thing is that when you find a $56 durian, it is so delicious. But they say, try it 5 times before you say that you don't like it. And I bear witness to that, because the first time I was like, this is disgusting. It's like there's this oniony, weird flavor. Huh. But everybody except Everly eats that in our family, so we love durian. Anyway, that's pot A. So go ahead to the next picture. So pot A is in the back, and then this is our friend L. L has been with us. He was Joel's mentee for years. So he has been with us for so long. And so when he was working with Joel to do the anti-pornography ministry before we even transitioned back here and then went back to Indonesia. When we left Indonesia, he started working with Pot A. And they are doing a house church movement. And the stories that come out of that are just... 2 years ago, Joel shared a story about a guy who was a trash picker, a really old man who was kind of stooped. He got hit by a car. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but he got hit by a car, was taken to the hospital. And at the hospitals in Indonesia, you don't get care if you can't pay. And so he was just laying he was going to die. Like, he was just laying there. And all of a sudden, this bright light came to him. And he saw a man, if I can say this right, he saw a man who had his hands out, and he spoke. So anyway, it was Jesus appearing to, it was a Muslim man who had no money, who was a trash picker, and he was healed just by that. Like, just, he was crying out to God, God healed him, and along comes Pot A. Okay. He comes in there to pray with them, and this guy is like saying, this is what happened to me, this is what happened to me. And he's like, well, let me tell you about that guy. And so Joel got to go to that baptism 2 years ago. Pot A was part of that. Yeah. And so our friend L works with him, and Joel has kept up this relationship, like, of, because they do work with youth as well. And so, again, it's the pornography stuff, but it's also about Jesus. And 2 months, 3 months ago, Pot A's wife died. She was only 47. She had an asthma attack and was not able to get the kind of care that she needed. And this is a picture of just like 2 weeks before we came back to the States for a little bit, that he came out and he started sharing about, like, what's going on now in his life and in his ministry. Because, I mean, his wife was a vital part of what they did with house fellowships and welcoming people in. And it just a broken man, just through sadness. And but he is, I'm just continually floored by the way that they give, the way that they continue to pour out themselves, even in the midst of that, and how God is showing up. So this was a picture of when Joel got to go with them, and they went to a beautiful place and threw rocks and yelled, and that's what, as Joel said, and it was a very healing moment. So,
yeah, and Pae is a Sunda Christian evangelist. Talk about, you know, pivots in life and that kind of thing. But one thing you may not know about is so many Muslim people around the world are, you know, it's challenging to try and share the gospel in many Muslim nations, as you know. But you know what's happening, and we're seeing this across the world, is Jesus Christ is coming to Muslims in their dreams. Mm-hmm. This is not isolated. This is not a weird thing. It sounds weird, but it's happening all the time. Joel could say more about that too. But just so you know, God is powerful and his spirit's going out.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So that's Pot A. Okay, go ahead to the next. This happens to be in the same location as the last picture, but this is These are, again, relationships from previously. These are, one is a church planter, a young church planter, and the other are guys that whose parents were used to be part of the team that we worked with. But this is like the next generation coming up that we get to work with and continue to partner with. So
yeah.
Next slide.
Hey.
So this is where I get to say thank you. This is, you guys gave us money, and this is the vehicle that we were able to buy. And this is also part of the story. I forgot that part of the story.
Yeah.
So amazing that you guys bought us a vehicle that we get to use. And we were telling Jim, there is so much freedom in having this vehicle that was given to us, that's ours, but it's not ours. And so when somebody needs it, we can say, here, go ahead and, like, this is God's, this is not ours, go ahead and use it. We came back this summer, and it's this car, I don't think, has sat quiet for too many days. Pot A, so his wife died about 2 months ago, but his daughter, his oldest daughter, got married this summer, and they asked, hey, can we use your vehicle for the, as like the bridal car, you know, like to get them from the wedding to the reception and whatever. And we're like, please take it. So our cart was used for that. And then our friends that we had shown a picture of earlier that do the peace camps, they took it and drove it from our island. They got on a ferry to the next island, Sumatra, and they drove it all the way up and back again, and it survived. Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, Sumatra is a little bit, that's a wild
dicey
place.
Yeah,
it's dicey, but they did it and it worked. So we have we love the diesel. We get to use biodiesel in Indonesia, and it's a wonderful,
so just
we owe you a lot.
Yeah, just a quick word. You may remember, was it this, how long, when was that last time you guys were here?
2 years ago.
Was it two now?
Yeah.
And to be brief, you may remember the previous mission org basically didn't like what they were doing, and they booted them, and they took their car, and that ticked me off. And they actually came in and took Sheila's dining room table.
Yeah.
That really ticked me off. I'm thinking of other words, but I can't say them in church. And so you got together, and we said, we can take care of this. And so we gathered some money together so we could get this. And you got a new table too, right? I want to see the table. You didn't get a picture of the table? I'm just
childish.
We
don't have a picture of it.
And these things cannot be taken away from them. And they can freely give them to nationals to do their ministries and partner. There's no weird us versus them that in the kingdom of God. So I just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you talk about ministry 2.0, I mean...
Yeah.
There are benefits sometimes to being with an org, but there's also this benefit. There's this freedom that Joel and I feel in a way.
Yeah.
You know, I had said, like, previously we were gone 4 years, back 1 year. And now, being with the school, they pay for our plane tickets home every summer. And so there's this freedom to be able to come home and be with family, which is a really big deal. My mom had... So a year ago, before we left in March, my mom had a heart attack, and it was one of those things, and my dad is gone. So it's this idea that, like, I know my years are limited with my mom. And if I have to be gone for 4 years before I get to come home again, like, I just can't. I couldn't imagine that. And now there's that freedom that we do get to come home in the summers and get to come visit. And our kids get to know family better, and
well, that freedom in Christ we have. I mean, it's scary to some people, especially some very tightly wound people. But, you know, one Christian author said, I think he said it well. He said, if Christianity makes us freaks, what good is it? Right? We're free in Christ. Let's live in that, not in sin or whatever, but we get to love each other well, I think, and that's awesome. And that's what the world wants and needs.
Yeah, so go ahead to the next. I think this is just an interior picture. So with Everly and then a friend. Cool. Okay, next picture. Okay. Uh-huh. I told Joel to take this picture out, but we were celebrating the Chinese New Year, and yeah. he wanted this in here. Go ahead, go to the next picture. Because as I was saying, most of his students, so this is the 11th grade this last year, so he teaches 11th grade, and probably 60% is what he said are Chinese Indonesian. So they are Indonesian, but they're of Chinese descent. Mm-hmm. And over in Indonesia, like there's a, I mean, there's always the distinctions between, are you Sunda? Are you Chinese? Are you Batak? Are you like, there's, because people groups, it's a big thing and they all speak different languages, mm-hmm. united by Indonesian. But, so he, this is the school that he teaches at. It's called Cahaya Bangsa, which means light of the nations. And I'm going to brag on Joel because he wouldn't say this. My perspective and his can sometimes be different, but Joel, he has flourished in teaching at a school, and we never thought that would happen. I never thought, he's a visionary. Like he likes to have freedom to be able to pursue people, and he's great at it. And so putting him in a school, it's like, I don't see how he's going to be able to fit within a structure. But there has been something about that structure for this season. It might not be always, mm-hmm. but for this season that has just given him freedom, which yeah. sounds weird. Mm-hmm. But within the class, he has to teach English literature. So he's teaching Shakespeare, he's teaching Paradise Lost, all that. Yeah. But he's also able to incorporate, I mean, he was a youth pastor here. He knows how to work with kids, and he's really good at it. And so he's connecting.
Yeah, I think it's more of a wonder for Sheila than me, in part because, I mean, Joel is a visionary, mm-hmm. and he was so gifted at cross-cultural work, and I saw that here. Yeah, he was a youth pastor, mm-hmm. But I made people stop calling him that because he was so much more.
Yeah.
Quick story as we sort of start wrapping up here. True story. The first kind of ministry thing Joel and I did together was to go to a former DS's funeral in Billings.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Owen.
Yeah.
And we were driving through Butte. This isn't very elegant, but we stopped at Pizza Hut. Big deal. And we were going to get something to eat real quick before we moved on. And this is a good example of Joel's mission's heart. Mm-hmm. So I went into the bathroom to do my business. And I came out just like 3 minutes later, and he was talking to the concierge gal, and she was crying. This was like 2 or 3 minutes. And she was telling him his life story, and he was talking about Jesus, and I'm like, forgive my language, but I was like, this guy in 3 minutes engaged in a conversation heartfelt with this young gal, and all I did was take a pee. This ought to be an interesting ministry. And it was, and it is.
Yeah.
So that the structure of a school is probably kind of good because Joel, the parents of the youth group, Joel would kind of move things around. And it was a lot of fun, but parents sort of have rules and all that. And Joel didn't have kids yet. And anyway, so I'd constantly have to fix that. And it was okay because he was great. But I can see now the school, you know, the general structure, but he gets to minister it within that structure into the lives of all these kids and families. And I could see why he would actually flourish in this situation and not in a traditional tight church situation, which we tried to dismantle.
Anyway. I will say the 9 years previously that we had been there have led up to this point. So with these students, like he can relate to them in Indonesian. Not many foreign teachers can do that. But so all of Joel's language and culture, cultural understanding, help him to teach in a way that gets to their hearts. And we have other ministry people that we got to know previously. There's a lady that works with children in poverty, and she has a school. And so Joel took some of his students there to do like fun activities. And let's talk about going pee, squatty potties. We're so used to doing like squat pots. It's not a big deal. A lot of his students don't. And so we get there and they're eating with their hands, and his students, again, they're from a wealthy family, so they don't actually understand this part of their own culture. Mm-hmm. And Joel's in there and they're like, I think you're way more Indonesian than we are, like to Joel. So it's really fun to see how he connects with his students, how he connects with the teachers. And yeah, God uses, who we just never would have thought.
God uses anything. Cool.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So,
as we're kind of wrapping up, do we have more slides?
I don't know. Go ahead and see if there's anything more.
Oh.
So this is Aki. This is another, we had lived in the middle of the city for about 7 years, eight years. And he was our neighbor. Go ahead to the next slide because it's better. So there's Aki now. This spring, Aki had a stroke. He actually had a stroke at the exact same time that my uncle had a stroke. Mm. And Aki, they don't have physical therapy there. And so he hasn't recovered the use of his legs, but he's recovered the use of his hands. But this just, again, shows the relationships that we have that have carried through the years and that they're like family to us, his family, and they're Muslim. And that's even something I would say about being in a Muslim. It's the largest Muslim country, but Indonesia is very open. Mm-hmm. And our kids, they can move across the two, like between Christian culture and Muslim culture, and there's not fear. And we're really grateful for that because I don't think there should be fear.
I think what many people don't know is, I think what we see on the news is, you know, jihad and all this kind of stuff that's more concentrated in the Middle East. As you go to the Muslim world more on the edges, I saw this in Uganda, East Africa, there's just not that kind of thing. So people, they live much more at peace. And
Yeah, we're grateful. And I think that's the last picture.
I will.
We can, there might be a couple more. Joel stuck some more pictures. Go ahead and
what
go to the next.
What else did you put in there?
I know, let's see. Oh. This is the last picture, so we were on family
back
vacation.
To Indonesia. Okay.
So, So.
Well, thank you, Sheila.
Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, this conversation can continue tonight at 5:30 at my place. Mains are covered. If anybody wants to bring a salad or dessert or whatever, that's cool. But we want to give you an opportunity to talk with these guys, enjoy one another. And if you don't know Joel or want to catch up with him, he'll obviously be there tonight. Yeah? All right. Let's give a round of applause to Sheila. All right, let me pray and we'll have our closing song. Father, thanks for this day. Thanks for what you're doing in people's lives, not just here, but all around the world. And we thank you for the life and the ministry of Joel and Sheila and their family in Indonesia and all that you brought them through and all that you will continue to do, Lord. They go with our love and our prayers and our support. And we just thank you that we can love on them and support them as well as the family of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.